You're too damn white, guys.
Welcome back to another Too Damn White Guys. I'm Julian Smith.
I'm Andrew Rader.
And today we are asking the question, are you smarter than your grandparents? And we're also going to look at IQ in general and the history of IQ tests and how we judge how smart people are to begin with versus things like reaction time to problems and all that good stuff. So we got a lot of good stuff planned today. But I guess I should start by asking, how you doing, Andrew?
Yeah, not too bad. Want to learn about the news?
You just let your mom out of the house, you said. Like a pet.
Yeah, she had to go to the park.
Which I thought was so funny. Yes, we should dive into the news before we get too carried away.
Andrew tells Julian the news.
Yeah, so Trump announced a deal to end the shutdown for 3 weeks provisionally while they negotiate without a wall.
So they're reopening it just to see if they can come to an agreement on what the wall will be and how much it'll cost.
Yeah, or if there is a wall.
Or
they're
if
basically
there's a wall
punting.
At all.
They're punting it down the field.
That's kind of scary. At least they're reopening.
Yeah. This happens a lot during shutdowns, actually, provisionally reopening, pending negotiations and stuff like that.
Okay. Good to know. We don't have to be scared.
Yep.
Just a little bit scared. Because it's still Trump we're dealing with. Who knows what that guy's going to do next?
If you live in Kutztown, Pennsylvania, you could be in luck because the police station is looking for people to get drunk for free. They're looking to train their officers how to deal with and recognize inebriated people. So they're hiring some local people off the street, I guess, to drink some hard alcohol in front of the police and use as test demonstrators. But they only have three positions and they got swamped by offers. Thousands of people applied.
Of course they did. Calling all drunks.
Actually, I think the deal is you have to be not a drunk.
Oh, how do they prove that?
You have to get drunk, but not be a drunk.
So how do they prove if you're not a drunk is what I want
to
know.
Resume, you have to give a resume, the my check references.
Your drinking resume?
Yeah, exactly.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
if you were worried about the great emu escape, the emus have been captured. In Texas, Galveston, Texas, some emus escaped and were running around town for a day or so, but they were captured.
What, did they escape from the zoo or something? Or
no, from someone's backyard. I think they were pets.
Pet emus only in Texas.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
In other news, the U.S. World and News Report, which is the organization that ranks universities and a bunch of other things, they ranked Canada third best country in the world.
Wow.
And first best for quality of life. So they have a survey which is based on lots of different factors like rule of law, economic opportunities, social equality, social justice, things like that, entrepreneurship, business. Yeah, and Canada's number three, so Switzerland and Japan were number one and two, apparently. But Canada's number one for quality of life. U.S. was number eight. Actually, it does take into effect things like world power and culture, like Hollywood and stuff. So the U.S. does really well in those categories.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's
we got Hollywood.
I mean, honestly, you can make up any metrics to rate countries and you can get any, like, answer. But it's interesting. Yeah.
That is interesting. This is possibly a rabbit trail, so we don't have to spend too much time on it. But that's fascinating about Canada being number one for quality of life. And you said it was up there for entrepreneurship and stuff.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's interesting. I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine who's a YouTuber that's Canadian this week, and he was saying how he moved from Canada to Los Angeles because one of the primary reasons was that business was simply better in America. There were bigger brand deals in America and things like that. And that made me wonder, is that because in Canada, the distribution of money is like primarily going to the businesses and not so much the individuals, or what is that?
No, people are a lot more even in Canada. So people are just as rich in Canada as the United States on average, but there's way fewer poor people in Canada and way fewer super rich people. So it's much more evenly distributed. I think it's just because the U.S. market is so much bigger. There's 10 times as many people in the U.S. So it's easier to have deals within the U.S. It's a lot easier to do business because you have a customer base 10 times as large. That's the main reason, I think.
So that you're suggesting the deals are bigger here because there's just more people and the market's bigger. Interesting.
Definitely.
Okay,
yep.
that makes sense.
And as a Canadian, I would just like to say, suck it, Scandinavia. Because they usually win these things.
They have been on top for a while. They deserve to take a back seat.
Yeah.
Man, this makes me want to move to Canada. So let's dive into that. The untitled.
Let's dive into the meat.
Whatever we're going to dive into the meat of the episode here. We're going to talk about IQ. Now, I think there is probably a number of different places we could start here. I don't know where you think is the most appropriate. I mean, we want to maybe the history of IQ would be a good place to start.
Yeah, I mean, what is IQ? First of all, intelligence quotient. What is it? Yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah, because
it's actually
what
from
makes
a German word.
Oh.
Intelligence quotient. Yeah, it's named by psychologist William Stern.
Well, you can say anything in that accent.
Yeah,
that sounds German.
In 1912, yeah. But basically, IQ right now is centered at 100. So the average IQ is supposed to be 100. Mm-hmm. And it has a standard deviation of 15.
Right. That means
so
that's like the
thing. It's like a normal distribution.
Okay, so that standard deviation means like people will on average fall either 15 or 15 above or 15 below 100.
Yeah, and more clustered towards the center generally. So a lot,
right.
Most people are kind of somewhere near 100, but it trails off. It's a what's called a normal distribution. It means 2/3 of people fall within plus or minus 15. So 2/3 of people fall between 85 and 115. Mm-hmm. And 95% of people fall between plus or minus 30. So between 70 and 130. Mm-hmm. And then 99.7% of people fall plus or minus 45. So 55 and 145.
Okay. So what is this IQ? How is it developed? I mean, because it's interesting when you think about what makes somebody... What makes a hunter-gatherer really good at hunting in the African savannah, you know, doesn't really, it might make them useless in like New York City, like working in the financial sector. But like, yeah. Can you really quantify like which one is smarter if they're both great survivors? Like how do you, what is this IQ and what does it really mean?
Well, the thing is, it's measured by tests. So various people have developed tests over the years to try to gauge things related to problem solving, basically, but there are different facets of IQ. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions is, we're going to talk about, is IQ improving? And one of the questions is, are people just getting better at taking tests? Mm. So if people are getting higher IQ scores, does that mean they're actually just better at the test? I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot of error in tests, especially tests like this. Like the highest IQ ever recorded was 263. Which
wow.
is, I mean, just, it's probably just completely wrong is what it is.
Because I'm surprised that person could even take a test.
Yeah, yeah. Like Einstein and Stephen Hawking, people like that have kind of in the 160s, and that's relatively credible.
Wow.
But, you know, anything over 200 is just kind of a nonsense number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Garry Kasparov, I think, is one of the people who have one of the highest measures, and his IQ is measured at like 194. Hmm. He's a chess grandmaster, Garry Kasparov, like the chess champion of the world, basically.
I didn't know. I know that guy, well, not personally, but I know who he is. I didn't know he had such a high IQ. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So there's this thing called the Flynn effect, and I'm not jumping ahead too much because I know you still want to talk about
yeah,
IQ.
Let's talk about it.
But the Flynn effect is, you know, it's the idea that people are getting smarter each generation. And the Flynn effect says that each decade, there's an increase of 3 extra IQ points on average. Now, this guy, James Flynn, whom the Flynn effect is named after, he says that IQ is nothing more than, he calls it adaptation to modernity, which I thought was interesting. It's like it's like how well are you going to get by in the city, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, definitely. Although I think in many developed countries, the Flynn effect has peaked and there's actually a bit of an inverse Flynn effect where people are getting lower scores now. So some of the really developed countries, it tends to follow development, actually. So countries that are kind of becoming more modern, having more cities, more industrialization, fewer people in agriculture, they tend to get rising IQs and then it sort of plateaus. And there's actually kicking in many countries that are developed. Sort of an inverse Flynn effect where it's starting to fall.
From what I understand, it's unclear if the falling IQ scores have to do with reaction time or if it's actually that people are getting dumber. I read this study. I've got the figures here in front of me so I don't mess it up. I read this on Live Science. in the 1880s, there was this English scientist named Sir Francis Galton, and he measured reaction times in like 2,500 men and 888 women, it says. And I'm not sure why they chose to do so few women as compared to the men. But apparently, they found that on average, the reaction time that people had to problems was about 185 milliseconds. And they've tested it in recent years, and that number has gone down to 277 milliseconds. So our reaction times are definitely falling, but we're talking milliseconds here. So we're splitting hairs. But is there really evidence that we're getting dumber?
You mean reaction times are increasing?
Right, yeah.
That's really strange, too, because you would think that in our modern society, we're so used to, like, pressing buttons on consoles and reacting to computers and doing things quickly and stuff like that. That's, like, actually, it's exactly the opposite of what I would have expected.
Yeah, well, I think that this might be an interesting part of the debate that's happening because, some people say that this increase in reaction time, I don't know what I said earlier, I hope I didn't make that confusing, but basically people are getting slower at reacting to problems. And I think that it could be accounted for by technology, like maybe because we have so many gadgets that are streamlining our lives that we just don't have to think about so many things. So we're just getting slower, but we could still be getting higher IQs, like our IQs could still be going up. But I don't know if you're suggesting you've found some evidence that IQs are actually dipping. Have you?
Yeah, there are. In certain countries, people think that IQs are at least plateauing and possibly falling a little bit. Yeah. But anyway, why would IQs rise over time? I mean, why would we be smarter than our ancestors? Because in evolutionary terms, humans are the same as they were even really 10,000 years ago when we became agriculturalists.
Good argument.
So, why would people be getting smarter?
Well,
people think that nutrition and disease are the big ones, obviously. Lifestyle. So now people have enough food for brain development. So it's like IQ is definitely influenced by environment. IQ is influenced by a number of factors, actually. And genetics is the main one. And it's about a 0.9 correlation for adults. So if your parents are smart, you're probably going to be smart. It's about like 90% of it. But intelligence is not like one thing. It's not like one gene. It's not like we could edit a cell or gene edit it or something like that to make it smarter. Because it's based on 17,000 different genes, basically.
Right. This is a recurring argument that I've seen when I've been researching this. And it seems like scientists can't agree completely on whether or not intelligence is genetic, like if it's hereditary. Or if it's completely environmental, and it's a fascinating question. And it's got me like, just, I couldn't, obviously nobody's gotten to the bottom of it. So sorry guys, there's no answers.
I think people think it's mostly genetic.
You think it is genetic?
Oh, mostly genetic. But obviously most things are based on multiple factors, but there's ways you can test that. And like by looking at parents and children. Also, if you do like identical twin studies, you can tell if it's genetic, what are the effects of that? Because identical twins have exactly the same genes, but they can be brought up in different families. Often they don't even know they're identical twins. So identical twins separated at birth provide a real experiment of what is the environment versus genetics. So if they're raised in completely different environments and one's like kind of a bad environment, but they both turn out to be equally smart, then that's a really good sign that it's genetic. And IQ is, we think, mostly genetic, about 90% or something. But there's definitely an environmental effect also, and that's pretty significant. And it's actually more than 10% because it's correlation rather than like a sum total. So it can be influenced by more than 100% of things because it's all like how much it's influenced by, right? So we think it's about 25% influenced by environment.
Okay, that would make sense because there was all these studies called the twin studies where they take twins, identical twins, and they basically any identical twin who's separated at birth and one of them is adopted by somebody else, and they study the IQ patterns of each of those kids. And these are specifically kids who, twins who, where one of them is growing up in a low income household and where the other one is growing up in a household where they have means to adequate education and things like that. And I heard the average, for kids who have like a proper educational upbringing is it's like a difference of 15 points on average or something like that, which is pretty big.
Oh yeah, environment is definitely significant, for sure.
Okay.
And that's one reason why it is probably increasing over time, because diets these days are much healthier than they were hundreds of years ago, despite all, you know, the new diet fads and stuff like that. People these days tend to get enough protein, enough vitamins, the right chemicals they need for brain development. So, and they have enough food. Like, people aren't starving. Yeah, like, in the past, people endured a lot of famines and stuff, which has a huge impact on child development. So that's a huge reason. Obviously, a lot less diseases, especially diseases that affect you in childhood and can lead to cognitive impairment and just improper development and stuff. So that's a huge thing also. Another thing that's been suggested is less inbreeding these days, because if you grew up in the past, hundreds of years ago, you probably married a cousin almost always. Like, you grew up on a farm, and people like in towns, small towns, always like married people they were related to because that's all the people there were, right? So nowadays we're moving around the whole world, flying airplanes, you go to different cities, kids move to different cities and stuff like that. So there's a lot more mixing going on. That's probably a good thing gene-wise. So that's another reason why people don't have as much inbreeding, not as much kissing cousins, basically.
We're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. I promise. One of the reasons that I've heard that IQ is going up for sure is that, and maybe it is plateauing, but I thought this was fascinating, is that if I, this is according to the Flynn effect, James Flynn, he said this, that if, according to research, if you ask somebody from like, you know, our grandparents' generation, the difference between a dog and a rabbit, they would say, not the difference between, but the similarities between, they would say, well, the dog chases the rabbit. Whereas they would, because it's rooted in their personal experience, they've seen dogs chase rabbits. So that's their, that's the average answer for that generation is like, oh, I've seen dogs chase rabbits. Whereas people from our generation have been trained to think in more abstract terms. And we would be more likely to qualify them both as mammals than to say that one of them chases the other or eats the other or something like that, which I thought was fascinating. It's like, you know, it's a subtle difference, but it's like, it shows that there's a huge cognitive leap happening generation to generation. And maybe that's just education. Maybe it's just the way we're being programmed. Who knows?
I think it's definitely education. It's not genetic changes at that point. Genetic changes take thousands of years at least to really have a big impact, especially with when you're talking about like 17,000 genes. But yeah, definitely the way people are educated today, we're educated in a standard way and we're all kind of thinking we have better problem-solving skills because we're, you know, taught to have them. And that it has a huge difference, especially when you're talking about, like, taking a test, which is how intelligence is measured. So, yeah. Like, I mean, people in the past were, I think, equally smart, and they might have been able to solve different kinds of problems than we solve today. Right. But today we're way better at taking tests.
Yeah, I think that's got to be it.
Which is not necessarily more useful, honestly. Probably catching your meal out from the animals and going hunting is a more useful skill, especially when the apocalypse comes.
Yeah. What's fascinating is that according to James Flynn, if our grandparents were to take the IQ tests that we take today, because they're all, you know, I think they redo them every 10 years or something. Yeah. They reestablish the questions. And if our grandparents were to take the current IQ tests, they score an average of 70 or below, which is our current line for mental illness.
Mental incapacity.
Mental incapacity. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. Which is crazy. Another thing that's kind of hilarious, and I've heard this before, but I didn't know that it possibly originated from James Flynn, is that another reason IQs could be dropping on average is because the smarter the people, the fewer the babies they're having.
Well, so, yeah, this is... Yeah, this is controversial. It's unclear. But it is true that intelligence doesn't provide you an evolutionary advantage. So I think kind of being normal in the middle, fitting into society, probably leads to the most mating opportunities. I mean, there's some advantage maybe, but if you're really smart, the people who are really smart tend to have social problems, actually, and tend to be a little, like, have... it's, I think, correlated with mental illness. It's definitely correlated with kind of a bit more of a social outcast or outsider, not as likely to fit in. And yeah, people who are more intelligent often obviously pursue, you know, more career opportunities and stuff like that, may not have children as much. So, you know, if the population is changing in intelligence over time, it would be because of reproduction. So the more intelligent people are reproducing more or less, and that would lead to differential change in intelligence. It's not that clear cut because of the 17,000 genes, but yeah, definitely it's possible to have change that way. And this is like Idiocracy, the movie.
Right, that's what it made me think of, which is a movie that I think should have been like so much better than it actually was. It's such a great plot, but I tried to watch it recently.
It's kind of a good movie.
It's not a great movie.
I mean, a lot of people don't like it.
It's a great idea.
It kind of sends a bad message. Because it is, so anytime we talk about this, we get to the dark side of intelligence testing and basically eugenics. So the person you mentioned, Francis Galton, who invented basically intelligence testing, he was Darwin's cousin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he also came up with the idea of eugenics. Which means basically, well, Galton mostly meant it in a selective breeding fashion. So you would take really smart people and have them breed and make really smart children.
How would you describe eugenics for the casual listeners?
So eugenics is the selective breeding of humans to bring out better traits, basically, for the improvement, quote, improvement of humanity, basically.
So it's the sum total of the positive genes getting to reproduce?
It's having... You know, reproducing to have positive genes continue propagating into the population, and often has the negative, the really, really dark side of restricting reproduction opportunities to people considered deficient in some way. So basically, like this actually used to be a thing in most Western countries. There were programs to sterilize like people who are considered mentally deficient and stuff like that. So in the United States, there
Canada
were
did this.
Oh yeah,
what a shock!
In Alberta. Yeah, and they sued the government and won often there. But people were, like, forced sterilized if they were considered to have the wrong, you know, genetic traits, if they're considered to be mentally inferior and stuff. And the most obvious example, of course, is the Nazis who pursued this with zeal to try to sterilize the people they consider to be inferior or kill, actually. Yeah. So Franz Galton basically invented intelligence testing. And then there was a guy named Binet, a French, Alfred Binet, I think, who standardized the tests for first in the early 20th century. There were a number of tests by army doctors in World War I where they were screening candidates to see if they would make officers rather than troops, because the idea was pretty much anyone can carry a rifle, but you want the smart ones commanding armies. So the U.S. Army instituted a lot of testing. In fact, I believe the U.S. Army in World War I invented the multiple choice test.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, just to screen candidates. And then, really dark, there was a guy named Goddard, not the great rocketeer Robert Goddard, but Herbert Goddard, or Henry Herbert Goddard, who encouraged. So Francis Galton mostly, as I was saying, encouraged like breeding of smart people or desirable people to future generations. But this guy Goddard really started a lot of the programs for sterilizing inferior people, quote, inferior people. And he also coined the term moron and imbecile, which are actually official things. They used to be official things. So an imbecile meant an IQ of 26 to 50. A moron meant an IQ of 51 to 70. And an idiot meant an IQ of 0 to 25. So this guy actually invented those words. So if you use those words, that's why they're considered un-PC, basically. Because those words literally mean like a level of IQ.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I've said idiot and imbecile. I've always loved saying imbecile. I didn't know it was actually offensive.
Yeah, those are official things, or they were. They were coined as official things by this guy named Henry Herbert Goddard. And they meant specific things.
Here I was thinking I was using a politically correct insult.
No. Well, is there such a thing as a politically correct insult?
Definitely, asshole.
Obtuse. That's a pretty good one.
Obtuse. That's a good one. Although it didn't go so well for Andy
Dufresne.
Didn't go so well for Andy Dufresne when he used that one.
Yeah. So anyway, really dark history in America, as well as obviously Nazi Germany and other countries as well, like even Canada had ugly history with eugenics. So when these intelligence tests came along, originally Francis Galton invented them, IQ really meant just relative intelligence age for a child, and they were only used on children. So basically, if a child was like 4 years old, but it was reading or thinking basically at a six-year-old level, it was considered above average and it was given a high IQ score. But if a child was way behind developmentally, like mentally developmentally, then it was a low IQ score. So all the original IQ tests were calibrated only for children. And only much more recently, after the 1940s, did they come up with basically adult tests and kind of standardized the system a little bit. And it's the main one is called the Wechsler Adult Intelligence Scale. That's the main type of test, but there's a variety of different types of tests.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I read that that the IQ of a kid isn't really indicative of where their IQ is going to end up. And that it's more accurate to start giving IQ tests around the age of 14 or 15. Mm.
Well, that at least tells you what the final one is. But IQ used to be measured primarily as a test of their development.
That's crazy.
So it's where they are basically relative to other kids, where they should be relative to their age, basically. Yeah.
So are we smarter than our grandparents? I think the answer to that question is like, definitely not. But that we might be more well-suited for life in the time we live in. And I think that's just a product of whatever generation is ruling the world at the time they're living. You know, it's like our grandparents had the highest IQs when they were our age, and then our parents had the highest, because it's just all about adaptation to your environment. So I don't think it's fair to say that anyone's smarter, but that, we're just getting better at adapting and making more progress as a species and, you know, implementing that progress.
Yeah, until we implement the neural interface so we can plug our brains into computers, we're probably not actually smarter. We're pretty much evolutionarily the same as we were 10,000 years ago when we were hunter-gatherers.
Yeah, you said this, but I was thinking, that got me thinking, is skin, eye, and hair color, that's all evolved. Like, that's a product of evolution, yeah? Because migration and stuff?
Yeah, but it's controlled by a lot fewer genes. Intelligence is one of the things that's controlled by a lot of genes.
Okay.
And also, it offers only so much evolutionary benefit, and then it ceases to offer evolutionary benefit. So I think there's kind of also a balance. Like, Neanderthals were possibly smarter than us. They had bigger brains, but their bigger brains required more energy, and that's probably why they died out. Because they just needed a lot more energy. They couldn't get enough food and they kind of starved. And we were able to like survive better through times of famine and stuff like that.
Mind boggling. That's crazy.
Now, with lots of food, people are getting smarter, obviously, through the nutrition, but maybe they will eventually also get smarter. But then that assumes there has to be some kind of evolutionary benefit or some benefit in finding a mate, basically like having kids, which probably is not true. So, yeah, I don't know. People are probably not getting smarter.
Yeah, probably not. But we're getting better at adapting to society, which is cool.
Better at taking tests.
Yeah. Well, I mean, society is always changing and people have to adapt to that change. And I think you could say that, I mean, all I ever hear my grandparents say is how quickly things are changing and how bad our generation has it and how, you know, you could argue that this is not the best time for my grandparents.
They can't even program the VCR, and VCRs are long gone.
Yeah, so I think it's, I'm still not saying it's a matter of intelligence, but I think it could be that society changes, and each generation just grows up with those changes and is therefore more well-suited to live with those changes than the generation before.
Yep.
All right, so let's take it to Twitter. Let's do Earth to Damn White Guys.
Earth to Damn White Guys. Earth to Damn White Guys.
Okay, so I asked the question, are people getting smarter? This is based on the Flynn effect, basically. So people are getting, I said, A, smarter, B, dumber, or C, about the same. And people pretty overwhelmingly said that people are getting dumber, which is a reverse Flynn effect.
Interesting.
But I suspect that this is maybe a little bit of fear of the idiocracy thing, but I also think that this is a reflection of what we've been talking about a lot, that people are afraid of the wrong things and people are pessimistic in general and they hear lots of dumb things happening. So they think that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, as people have always thought, but it's never been true. So people are just pessimistic about the future of humanity and they think people are getting dumber, but they're not actually getting dumber.
How many results have you gotten in 30 minutes?
About 900.
So how many, can you give us some percentages? Who's, how many thought they were getting smarter? How many thought we're getting dumber?
So 15% thought smarter, 50% thought dumber.
Okay.
Huge, overwhelming. And then 35% said about the same.
And this will probably, these numbers will probably change on the poll before we post it, but that's fascinating. That's a huge, that's a landslide. My goodness.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Pretty big. Very significant. It's more than one standard deviation.
That's crazy. Well, I don't think we're getting dumber. I think everybody can just chill out and rest assured that we're, if anything, getting more well-suited to survive in society. And, you know, there's no reason to be depressed about that. Don't get stuck in your reptilian mind. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, I think, you know, people are not getting dumber. They're probably getting smarter. And, well, I don't know. Probably about the same, really.
Probably about the same. That's probably what I would have chosen, having had this discussion now. All right, well, that about does it for us today. Thanks so much for listening. If you want to really help us out, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter if you're on Twitter. I'm at Julian Was Here. Andrew is at Mars Raider. And these episodes come out every Monday, and we're already looking forward to next week. Next week,
you can post some comments on Julian's Facebook.
What's that?
You can post some comments on Julian's Facebook.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I posted a snippet of last week's episode on my Facebook, and I found out how conservative so many of my fans are, and that's not an insult at all. It was just like, I didn't even think what we said was offensive, but
no, I thought we were pretty even-handed, actually.
It got so heated in the comments.
I didn't think we were pro-conservative or pro-liberal, necessarily, but yeah.
Yeah, that, I felt
if
the same way.
If anything, we might have pissed off both sides.
Yeah, well, I only saw massive Trump supporters leaving angry comments. So, you know, I didn't, but, you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being a conservative or, you know, I actually don't really identify with either poll 100%, but, you know, it's just funny when you say something on social media about politics, people get mad. It's hilarious.
Yep. Very much. Yeah, people are very polarized about politics.
Yeah. It's crazy. Shouldn't be that way. We should be able to talk about stuff. I meant no harm. We're just having a conversation here. It's this is why people don't talk about politics at Thanksgiving, I guess. It's, I got to learn my lesson.
That's one of the things I really enjoy, actually. We go to see relatives, and some of them are really conservative, and I love talking politics with people who think differently from me. If you're talking about politics with someone who has the same views as you, it's kind of a waste of energy.
Yeah,
if you're talking
about the same way.
Politics with someone who feels really differently from you, it's kind of enlightening.
I think we got to relearn the art of dialectic. We got to be able to talk about things politely. You don't want to miss next week's episode. It is an episode on pornography. It's about the history of pornography and some funny historical facts that you probably didn't know. So I'm very excited about this episode because it is quite funny. So you don't want to miss it.
Wow.
Bound chicka wow wow indeed. Until next Monday.
All right.
I'm a